not the way that you say it when you do those things to me. It's more the way that you mean it when you tell me what will be. And when you stop and think about it, you won't believe it's true that all the love you've been giving has all been meant for you. I'm looking for someone to change my life. I'm looking for a miracle in my life. And if you could see what it's done.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the final episode of the continuing saga of US of AVUS with Ed and Lewis. It's Saturday night. It's 10 p.m. on the East Coast, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, and somewhere in between. Welcome, one and all. Hopefully we'll make this a finale worth listening to. Entertain, educate, all that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about the doctrine of unconstitutional conditions. It's a 33-page document that can be found on www.rbs2.com/duc.pdf. I'll read that again a time or two during the show. And really the point we want to make is that the courts in the past, and most of these cases are Supreme Court, this particular lawyer who wrote this document refers to a couple federal district court cases as well, but they've had some great rulings on what the government can impose on us in violation of our constitutionally protected. Not granted. Remember, the Constitution doesn't grant us anything. It just serves as a barrier, a fence, a limit on what the government can do. We're supposed to be a republic, which is a government of limited enumerated powers. How many of you think that it's limited or enumerated anymore? I certainly don't. But, you know, everything goes in a cycle, and we're at that stage. I was reading something else this week someone sent me, you know, about the stages of a civilization or a society. There's about 7 or 8 stages in that one. And we're ending the stage where we have major usurpation and tyranny. And I don't know that there's anything any of us can do about it. I've been advocating the last couple of weeks that you look out for yourself. Prepare. Get ready for what's coming. There's some major stuff coming. So after the break, we'll get into this document a little bit, talk about what are unconstitutional conditions. Would seem to be pretty straightforward. A condition that exists that is unconstitutional in its makeup. Lewis, did we get you back yet?
I don't know. Am I here?
Hey, you're here loud and clear. Good deal. You were really quiet before. We had some technical difficulties getting on the air tonight, folks.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a long ways from here to there.
I know, and those electrons kept bouncing back and forth into the coronal mass ejections from the sun.
I guess. Must have been doing something.
Evidently, that's what sucked the value out of gold and silver Thursday and Friday.
Ooh, did it ever. Mercy.
So we'll be back after this break with maybe a few weekly updates and then get into our main discussion for tonight, folks. Please stay tuned to Republic Broadcasting through this break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines. Does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Why do we never get an answer when we're knocking at the door? Because the truth is hard to swallow. It's what the war of blood is for.
Now, all right, we'll cut that a little short. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It is Saturday night, the last show of our short-lived broadcasting careers, I guess, kind of, whatever.
Kind of, sort of?
Yeah, sort of, kind of? Whatever. Whatever. We will be heard from again. We're not disappearing, just... certain things need to get done that aren't getting done, and we need to go focus on them for all of us. So, I didn't check before the show, Lou, see if either one of us had made it on attack watch to see if anybody had reported us to Obama's website for saying something ill against Bam Bam.
Oh, man, if I didn't make it to the website, what good am I?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, here we go in this country. The president sets up a website to so people can be reported for exercising their First Amendment free speech rights to say something against a person who's obviously doing everything he can to destroy the country.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the anomalies in the markets, folks, that you probably paid attention to is stocks went down on the same day that the metals went down. On the same day that the oil went down. Now, on Friday, it reversed the Dow a little bit, went up when everything else went down. But there's some weird stuff going on out there, I say.
That's a great show.
Anything else you'd like to introduce before we get into this document?
Oh yeah, I want to read a note I got from my buddy who lives just north of Houston. It was actually written by somebody you and I know, who lives in the same general area, and I'm not sure we want to say who that is. But anyway, you know, back just before Labor Day weekend, we had a little wildfire in Texas.
Yeah.
Just north of Houston. And then not too long after that one got going good, they had the big wildfire out in West Texas around Bastrop. Okay, so our acquaintance down in the southern part of Texas, who remain unknown, wrote me this thing. Well, he wrote this and put it out, and my buddy who lives on Lake Travis sent it to me, and he's I'll read you what my buddy in Texas wrote. He says, folks, this is how we do it in Texas. At least this is how the white people do it. He says, blacks in Texas, in Galveston, just had a great big meeting in front of the Houston Comical, wanting to know when the government was going to fix their homes. They are tired of having blue tarps on their roofs some 3 years later. Now, for those of you who don't know where the fire was, the big fire was in an area generally known as Magnolia. It covered three counties. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can tell you where they are. Well, anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. So anyway, the people in Magnolia got off their asses and went to work. It all started with one woman recruiting her female friend, and when FEMA showed up, they were kindly asked to leave. So for those of you not from this area, H-E-B is a local grocery chain, and Mattress Mac is a nickname of the owner of a furniture store called Gallery Furniture. So let me read you what our common acquaintance down in Texas wrote us. He said, here's some stories that you won't hear about the Tri-County Fair in Montgomery, Grimes, and Waller County over Labor Day weekend. Although Kenna, and that's the lady who got all this started, promises to write a book. He goes on to say, my neighbor across the road has a sister named Kenna. Labor Day, when she saw a huge column of smoke over our homes, she left a birthday party at a neighbor's house to go meet with her friend Tara at the baseball complex in Magnolia. Now, Magnolia is the county seat of, I think, Montgomery County. But anyway, I've been going from Texas too long. I can't remember all the geography down there anymore. So she called the owner of the complex and got permission to use the warehouse there as a staging area for donations for the firefighting effort. Now, bear in mind, you know, they'd already had a day or so of news about the fact that they got a big wildfire going. So they put a notice on Facebook that they were going to be taking donations on their Facebook pages. That night, as they were setting up tables and organizing, News 2 out of Houston came by, saw all the activity, did a little investigating and talking around, and left with phone numbers and a list of suggested donations. Well, folks, the Facebook notice propagated faster than the fire did. By dawn the next morning, they had 20 volunteers, they had bins, they had forklifts, and they had truckloads of donations pouring in. Our mutual friend says, I stopped by with my pitiful few little bags of nasal spray, eyewash, and was just simply amazed. He says, there must have been at least 20 big trucks in the parking lot of floating cases of water, pallets of Gatorade, and there were people lined up out the door with sacks of beef jerky, baby wipes, underwear, socks, clothes, you name it. School buses and trailers from many counties around here were coming in and offloading supplies, and students were forming living chains to pass the stuff from the transport vehicles into the bins and over to the command and staging areas. If firefighters had asked for it, it was there. What do you give the guy out there fighting the fire that might engulf your home? You give him any damn thing he or she wants. That's what you give him, including chewing tobacco and cigarettes. Well, Kenan moved over to the United Command Post at Magnolia West High School. She looked at what the firefighters needed, and she started making calls, and it started coming in. Mattress Mac, now this is a guy who owns a big furniture store in Houston, donated 150 beds. Two classrooms in the high school were turned into barracks, their windows blacked out so that there would be quiet and darkness for the firefighters to rest. The CEO of HEB, now that's a grocery chain, donated two full semi-tractor trailers full of supplies and sent a mobile commercial kitchen to feed all of the workers, all of this at no charge. But not only did they feed the workers, they fed all of the firefighters three hot meals a day. An impromptu commissary was set up, and anything the firefighters had requested was available at no charge. Are you getting this, folks? This is community people pulling together. As exhausted firefighters, most of them from local volunteer fire departments with no training or expertise in battling wildfires, and other workers came into the school after long hours of hard labor, dehydrated, hungry, covered with soot and ash, they got what they needed. They were directed through the commissary where they got soap, eyewash, nasal spray, candy, clean socks, clean underwear, and they were sent off to the locker rooms where they could get a hot shower. HEB then fed them a hot meal, and they got 8 hours of sleep in a dark barracks, and then another hot meal, another pass through the commissary with supplies to carry out to the lines, including fresh gloves, safety glasses, dust masks, snacks, and so on. One of the crews who had come in to help fight the wildfire were from California, and they asked where the FEMA power bars and water were. That particular firefighter was escorted to the commissary and started through the system. He was totally flabbergasted. Dagnabbit. He said, FEMA never did anything like this for her. Kenna replied to him, well, honey, this ain't FEMA. This is the way we do it in Texas. Firefighting equipment needed repair? No problem. The high school auto shop was turned into a 24/7 maintenance facility with local mechanics volunteering, students helping, and firefighters fixing the equipment. Down one side of the school were water tankers lined up at the fire hydrants filling with water, and down the other side was a steady parade of gasoline tankers filling up tractors, firefighting trucks, dozers, tankers, cans, chainsaws, and command vehicles. Mind you, all of this was set up by two ladies, Kenna and Tara, joined by a staff of 20 simple other women who simply volunteered, some who had sons and daughters and husbands and friends on the fire line. Someone always knew someone who could get what they needed, whether it was a bed or a mechanic or food or space for something else. Local people using local connections mobilized local resources and made it happen. No government aid, no trained expert. At one point, the fire was less than a mile from the school, and everyone but those volunteers were evacuated. The fire was turned by the winds, and everybody came back. Then the good old Red Cross came in, looked at what was going on, tucked their tails between their legs, and quietly went away. Said, we can't do anything here. Then the government shows up. Yay! FEMA came in and told the volunteers and Kenna that they had to leave because FEMA was here. Kenna told them where they could go in no uncertain terms, that she worked for the firefighters, not them, and they could go where it didn't snow. They were obnoxious, bossy, got in the way, criticized everything. Well, let me finish this after we... Mike, hold that break for just a minute, will you? Let me finish this. I only got about another 45 seconds here. The volunteers refused to back down and kept doing their job and doing it well. Next, FEMA said that the HEB supplies in the kitchen had to go because that was just plain old commercialism. Kenna says, no, they ain't, and they stayed put. FEMA threw a wall-eyed fit about the chewing tobacco and cigarettes, and Kenna told them, hey, if firefighters ask for it, they're going to get it. Go to hell. FEMA got nasty and kept asking, who is this organization? She said, it's our community. FEMA didn't like it and demanded that they come up with a name for themselves. One of the mothers remarked, you got me up to my boiling point. One of the other mothers said, yeah, 212 degrees. And you know what FEMA did? Next day they showed up with red T-shirts with the words 212 degrees embroidered on them and made everybody put them on. Now, there's your tax dollars at work, folks. Is that what you're paying your government for? Anyway, we'll be back after the break, and I'll finish the story. I only got about three more sentences. Okay, Mike, go to the break.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation, but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method, which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Have a little family interruption there.
Yeah, so anyway, to finish up the last little bit of the story, the Tri-County Wildfire, which the gummy mint experts say it would take at least 3 weeks to get under control, was 100% contained in only 8 days. By the time they got it tamp down and put to bed, they had enough supplies and left over that they filled three semi tractor trailers with supplies and sent them over to the firefighters in Bastrop. That was just supplies for the firefighters. In addition to that, there were only 60 families in the Tri-County area who lost their homes. And after they were restocked with everything they could possibly need, there was enough donated goods to supply a couple of hundred other families, and all of that was sent over to Bastrop. So that's how you do it. And you tell the government to go pound sand, and you just get the job done. You pull together with your neighbors for the common good and make it happen. So anyway, I hope that's inspirational to our listeners. It was sure inspirational to me, and I felt warm and fuzzy after reading that.
Yeah, and then in the most recent situation, guys travel all night long, drive themselves to go help fight the fire. They get there, and the government says, no, you got to go home. You're not welcome.
Well, too bad it wasn't the same group of people that were over in the Tri-County area, because they would have told the government what they could do with it.
Well, the problem was they were they showed up individually. If they'd showed up 50 or 100 strong, they would have said, hey, we're here to fight fire. We're going to fight a fire.
Yep.
And the lesson there, of course, is that, individually they can pick us off.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to get at with it. That was part of the message I was trying to get across to our listeners.
Well, you're being too subtle.
All right, damn it, folks. We got to pull together, and it's time to go to war with these bastards. I'm tired of this shit. Now, is that plain enough?
Yeah, I think I got that figured out now.
Okay. Hey, I lived in Big D for 10 years. I can understand.
Oh, goodness.
I can talk in my long, slow Texas drawl if you really need me to, you know what I mean?
Well, what ought to really upset people is the view that the country might survive a Barack Obama's presidency, but it can't survive a populist that elected him. If that don't get you mad, folks, I don't know what will. But anyway, that being said, the doctrine of unconstitutional conditions, and this is from a document by that name that you can find on rbs2.com/duc.pdf. This is an attorney who's written a number of interesting treatises, and he introduces it, and I'm going to skip all that. But anyway, the doctrine of unconstitutional conditions can be traced back to Home Insurance Company of New York versus Morse from 1874. That's after the Civil War, right?
Last time I checked, it was, yeah.
And we know that, the 14th Amendment just took away all your constitutional rights and everything, but they introduced a new really important concept after 1874. Oh, okay, anyway, let's not digress.
Well, and, let's time out just a second. When was the second time that the United States incorporated after the Civil War?
78, wasn't it?
No, that was the first time.
73 was the first time. And then it was declared unconstitutional, and then they had to go for the second time.
Okay, so what I'm trying to get at is this is right after the incorporation.
Yeah, and we're going to comment on a lot of this is about government jobs and things like that. But anyway, well, I guess we're going to go back to a break, and we'll continue when we get back. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. This is Republic Broadcasting.
We just told that about.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time, money, education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
They railed against the crowd. Okay, we're back about 33 minutes after the hour. The call-in number is 800-313-9443 on the Republic Broadcasting Network show tonight, the U.S. of AVUS, your host Ed and my co-host Lewis. And we have thoroughly chastised Lewis for using too many of George Carlin's seven words you can't say on radio TV, and we all know what they are. But anyway, moving right along.
I'll try to tone it down a little bit for the next 5 minutes.
That's right. Stat Miller even called in and chastised him. So he's been chastised thoroughly, folks.
That's what you think. But okay, we'll do our best for the rest of the show.
Okay. The case I mentioned that he first referred to, Home Insurance Company of New York versus Morris, 87 U.S. 445. 1874, the quote is, a man may not barter away his life or his freedom or his substantial rights. That's it. You can't barter them away, folks. They are God-given, unalienable. You can't barter them away. He goes on to say, the first mention of the phrase unconstitutional conditions by the U.S. Supreme Court occurred in Doyle versus Continental Insurance Company from 1876. Wherein they stated, though a state may have the power, if it sees fit to subject its citizens to the inconvenience of prohibiting all foreign corporations from transacting business within its jurisdiction, it has no power to impose unconstitutional conditions upon their doing so. Okay, so another, basically what it says is you can block them completely, but you can impose unconstitutional conditions to allow them to come in and conduct their business. In 1925, the U.S. Supreme Court considered whether the state of California could deny the use of public highways to a private company that had a contract for the transportation of citrus fruit unless the private company was licensed as a common carrier. Isn't that one close to home, especially with Lewis's conversation last week? And this is Frost versus Railroad Commission. The court held that California could not impose such conditions on the private company. And
actually, I think I mentioned that just a week or two ago on the show. I cited that same case.
There's a couple paragraphs here. The court said there is involved in the inquiry not a single power, but two distinct powers. One of these, the power to prohibit the use of the public highways in proper cases, the state possesses. And the other, the power to compel a private carrier to assume against his will the duties and burdens of a common carrier, the state does not possess. Isn't that interesting? Because they don't possess the right to make us into commercial travelers either, but by forcing us to get driver's licenses, they do exactly that. Yet if you go to this exact same Supreme Court, they won't rule in your favor, because I have a friend in Eastern North Carolina who did recently. Continuing, it is clear that any attempt to exert the latter separately and substantively must fall before the paramount authority of the Constitution. May it stand in the constitutional form in which it is here made? Don't you love some of this stuff, folks? If so, constitutional guarantees so carefully safeguarded against direct assault are open to destruction by the indirect, but no less effective, process of requiring a surrender, which, though informed voluntary, in fact lacks none of the elements of compulsion. Having regard to form alone, the act here is an offer to the private carrier of a privilege which the state may grant or deny upon a condition which the carrier is free to accept or reject. In reality, the carrier is given no choice except a choice between the rock and the whirlpool, an option to forego a privilege which may be vital to his livelihood or submit to a requirement which may constitute an intolerable burden. So think in your life and in the discussions you've had regarding the government, how often now the government becomes an extortion artist. There's a bunch of cases that we're going to go through as we go into this, but places where the government says, if you don't do this, there's going to be a negative impact, even though they probably don't have the right to require you to do it. Continuing the last paragraph of that he talks about in this case, here's the court again. It would be a palpable incongruity to strike down an act of state legislation which, by words of express divestment, seeks to strip the citizen of rights guaranteed by the federal Constitution, but to uphold an act by which the same result is accomplished under the guise of a surrender of a right in exchange for a valuable privilege which the state threatens otherwise to withhold. Okay, that's one long sentence. But basically what they're saying is, how could the court strike down legislation where the state expressly divests you of a right, but then uphold an act which accomplishes the same purpose, but is hidden in weasel words by, you know, well, you're doing it voluntarily. And how many times have we all heard that we all volunteer into this stuff? And basically because it's too much of a hassle or, you know, we're going to have to give something up. So, continuing, it is not necessary to challenge the proposition that, as a general rule, the state, having power to deny a privilege altogether, may grant it upon such conditions as it sees fit to impose. But the power of the state in that respect is not unlimited. And one of the limitations is that it may not impose conditions which require the relinquishment of constitutional rights. If the state may compel the surrender of one constitutional right as a condition of its favor, it may, in like manner, compel a surrender of all, which is where we are today. It is inconceivable that guarantees embedded in the Constitution of the United States may thus be manipulated out of existence. And remember, this case was from 1926. Oh, no, 1925. And here we are, what is that, 85 years later? That's exactly what has happened. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, Spicer versus Randall. And the rest of these cases are going to be fairly new, folks. This is a 1958 case at Supreme Court. Was the beginning of the modern era of the doctrine of unconstitutional conditions. The case involved an exemption from property tax in California for veterans of World War II. So 1958, what, 13 years after the end of the war. In 1954, California modified the annual exemption form to require veterans to declare under oath that I do not advocate the overthrow of the government of the United States or of the state of California by force or violence or other unlawful means, nor advocate the support of a foreign government against the United States in event of hostilities. So what they were saying is, if you're a veteran, you got no you were exempted from property taxes, but in 1954, California said, if you want to keep getting that benefit, you have to take this oath, just like swearing you're a U.S. citizen to register to vote. Spicer, an honorably discharged veteran of World War II, sued the state of California, arguing that the oath violated his First Amendment rights. The U.S. Supreme Court agreed with Spicer and further recognized that California was requiring a waiver of a constitutional right as a condition of receiving a benefit, i.e. the property tax exemption. California also argued that overthrowing a government by force or violence is a crime. However, the Supreme Court rejected that argument because the state alone has the burden of proving guilt of a crime. While in this case, California required its citizens to swear that they were not engaging in prohibited speech. Now listen to this, folks. The voice of the present procedure is that where particular speech falls close to the line separating the lawful and the unlawful, the possibility of mistaken fact-finding inherent in all litigation will create the danger that the legitimate utterance will be penalized. The man who knows that he must bring forth proof and persuade another of the lawfulness of his conduct necessarily must steer far wider of the unlawful zone than if the state must bear these burdens. This is especially to be feared when the complexity of the proofs and the generality of the standards applied, i.e. Dennis v. United States Supra, provide but shifting sands on which the litigant must maintain his position. How can a claimant whose declaration is rejected possibly sustain the burden of proving the negative of these complex factual elements? In practical operation, therefore, this procedural device must necessarily produce a result which the state could not command directly. It can only result in a deterrence of speech which the Constitution makes free. Quote, it is apparent that a constitutional prohibition cannot be transgressed indirectly by the creation of a statutory presumption any more than it could be violated by direct enactment. The power to create presumptions is not a means of escape from constitutional restrictions. Lewis, can you think of anything now where they just presume you're guilty and then you have to go prove you're innocent?
That didn't happen to us, did it?
No, and I think the millions of people that get on airplanes every week find themselves in that exact situation.
Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't think that happened to us.
How many people do we run into in jail who were there because, well, look at Gibson. Gibson guitar gets raided because maybe there might have been some, what, protected wood in their factory, even though they have all the pay. I mean, instead of somebody coming in and saying, hey, you know, can we check this out? Can we see your paperwork? No, they come in with M16s, and, I mean, we know what those people have been through because we've been through it ourselves.
You got it. Well, but see, you have to understand that those who are doing what they are doing know that what they're doing is wrong, and they fear that they'll be found out and held accountable. So therefore, if they can scare you enough, maybe you won't find out that they're breaking the law.
Okay, so that brings to mind a government that fears the people, you have freedom, and when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. So where are we?
Last time I checked, it looked pretty tyrannical.
All right, Shapiro versus Thompson. In 1969, the Supreme Court invalidated state statutes that required welfare recipients to have been a resident of the state for at least 1 year before applying for welfare benefits. The court held that such a condition violated the recipient's right to travel. Quote, thus, the purpose of deterring the in-migration of indigents cannot serve as a justification for the classification created by the one-year waiting period, since that purpose is constitutionally impermissible. If a law has no other purpose than to chill the assertion of constitutional rights by penalizing those who choose to exercise them, then then it is patently unconstitutional. How about that one?
Sounds like a mouthful.
You have such a vested right to travel in this country that you cannot be forced to waive a right in order to affect that right. Mm-hmm. So your right to a Fourth Amendment unlawful searches and seizures now has to be waived to enjoy your right to travel, to get on an airplane, trains, and soon to walk into an NFL football game.
Yeah, I particularly like that last one.
Sorry, had to hit the cough button there. I mean, how did we? This was 1969. What is that? 42 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've come that far. Now, folks, as you hear a bunch of these cases, you're going to see that they tend towards, you know, getting benefits, government benefits. But the point is that we have argued on this show that when you accept a government benefit, you kind of give up rights. In light of this, obviously, the court says that's not the case. In 1972, the U.S. Supreme Court considered a professor at a state college in Texas whose employment contract was not renewed in retaliation for the professor's criticism of the regents of the college. In the terse opinion, the court held that the professor had been denied due process. The opinion is remarkable for the following statement of law. For at least a quarter century, so this is 1972, you can do the math and go backwards, this court has made clear that even though a person has no right to a valuable government benefit, and so think about health care being a right. Now, that's not even a government benefit. That's a right to somebody else's property. Anyway, and even though the government may deny him the benefit for any number of reasons, there are some reasons upon which the government may not rely. It may not deny a benefit to a person on a basis that infringes his constitutionally protected interests, especially his interest in freedom of speech. For if the government could deny a benefit to a person because of his constitutionally protected speech or associations, his exercise of those freedoms would, in effect, be penalized and inhibited. This would allow the government to produce a result which it could not command. And think about the restrictions on free speech now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just absolutely amazing. 1976, Supreme Court held that the sheriff of Cook County, Illinois, Cook County, there you go, right, could not terminate the employment of non-civil service people in his department solely because they were members of the opposite political party. I can tell you, folks, here there are counties in North Carolina where every time the sheriff changes office and the opposite political party comes in, the deputies are gone. So that was 1976. Here we are in, you know, 2010, 2011, and the practice is still exercised. But, you know, unfortunately, these deputies don't know to go get a lawyer. Well, that's their problem. If they get a lawyer, lawyers aren't going to argue the case anymore. Particularly pertinent to the constitutionality of the practice of patronage dismissals are a bunch of cases they cite, and they go into a whole lot of this where, look, your right to association, your right to free speech, your right to patronize any party or anything you want, you know, cannot be used as a reason to fire you. And that's for a government job. Of course, now in a private job, I argue, It's my company, and I want to fire you. I'll fire you for any reason I want. In 1977, the U.S. Supreme Court considered a case from Michigan in which all teachers in Detroit public schools were required to belong to a labor union. And one teacher had objected to paying fees to the union for support of ideological causes with which that teacher did not agree. In this case, Michigan was conducting a benefit, i.e. employment as a school teacher, on surrender of some of the teacher's First Amendment rights. The court held that it was proper for the union to require payment of fees for collective bargaining. We'll come back to that right after this break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll stop on time this time since Lewis blocked the last break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
I got no life except my job, but I don't mind that it's all right. I get to grope you legally if you want to take flight. This badge and uniform we wear, well, it might look like a rent-a-car, but your life is in our hands. We like it that way, especially if your heart. It's awful lonely being me. No girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. So let me squeeze you right there if you want to take a flight. You can trust the TSA.
He'll be in our dreams tonight.
Yeah. All right, I like that one.
We got a good producer tonight. He's doing a fine job. Even if he's not keeping me out of trouble.
Well, that's no one's up to that task. Okay, the court held that it was proper for the union to require payment of fees for the purposes of collective bargaining, contract administration, and deciding grievances. However, the court held that it was unconstitutional for the union to demand that all teachers contribute to the political activities of the union. I'm not going to read the decision on that, folks. It just basically goes in and states what the authors summarized there. And in Abood versus Detroit Board of Education, 1977, they found that the fact that the appellants are compelled to make, rather than prohibited from making, contributions for political purposes works no less an infringement of their constitutional rights. Okay? It's the old issue of you have the right to associate, you have the right to not associate. If you have the right to freedom of speech, you have the right not to speak. And, of course, the Miranda right tells you the right to remain silent. Not enough of us do, unfortunately. There's a footnote on that case, footnote 31, that's interesting. It says this view has long been held, and that's the one about if there is any fixed star in our constitutional consolation, it is that no official, high or petty, can prescribe what shall be orthodox in politics, nationalism, religion, or other matters of opinion, or force citizens to confess by word or act their faith therein. And so James Madison, the First Amendment's author, wrote in defense of religious liberty, "Who does not see that the same authority which can force a citizen to contribute 3 pence only of his property for the support of any one establishment may force him to conform to any other establishment in all cases whatsoever?" The writings of James Madison, 186 Hunt, ed. 1901. Thomas Jefferson agreed that to compel a man to furnish contributions of money for the propagation of opinions which he disbelieves is sinful and tyrannical. There's that word again. Interesting. Let's go down to the next one. 1977, the U.S. Supreme Court held that New York State could not remove a person from office in a political party because that person had elected to use his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination in a grand jury proceeding. Thus, when a state compels testimony by threatening it to inflict potent sanctions unless the constitutional privilege is surrendered, that testimony is obtained in violation of the Fifth Amendment and cannot be used against the declarant in a subsequent criminal prosecution. Extend that to the case of plea bargains, people. I mean, nowadays, when the bad U.S. attorney comes in, he says, look, you take the plea, we give you 10 years, we go to trial, we're going for 20, 30, 40. But in order to get that plea, you have to surrender everything. In fact, if you ever read one of these plea agreements, people, it is, you've read a couple, right, Lewis?
I mean, I've read a whole bunch of them.
You're giving up the right to see the evidence against you, hear testimony. I mean, it's amazing. But we'll get back to that right after this break. Top of the hour. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Gold, ever climbing.